This is edition number 1356 of the Wyndham and Attleborough Talking Newspaper for the 28th of August 2026. Hello, I'm Georgette, and I'm pleased to welcome you to the latest edition of your news and information service. The editors are Frieda, Anne and Tony. The sound technician is Lee, and the administration was done by Mary. The items you'll hear have been taken from the Wyndham and Attleborough Mercury, Eastern Daily Press, Norwich Evening News, Dis Express, Wyndham Magazine, the Heatherset Herald and the Fawnsett Flyer. Your other readers are John and Amanda, and the first item will be read by John.
A town is mourning the loss of a respected former mayor and long-serving councillor. The death of Vera Dale, who served as Mayor of Attleborough and represented the town on Breckland Council, was announced yesterday. Mrs. Dale was involved in a wide range of local matters, including education, youth services, town development and the environment. In recognition of her years of service and dedication, Attleborough Town Council recently awarded her the title of Honorary Older Woman. Mrs. Dale was also the owner of Pavilion Preschool Nursery of the Recreation Ground, which has been welcoming children for more than 50 years. Malcolm Burrows, the current Mayor of Attleborough, said Vera Dale made a long-standing and significant contribution to the community of Attleborough through many years of public and voluntary service. Vera will be remembered for her dedication, community spirit, and the considerable time and energy she gave to Attleborough over many years. Her contribution to the life of the town has left a lasting legacy, and she will be greatly missed by those who knew her and by the wider community she served. Attleborough Town Council has flown its flag at half-mast in recognition of her passing. John Dennis said, "R.I.P. Vera, Attleborough through and through. Thoughts with your family at this time from all at Attleborough Boxing Club." Maggie Moore shared, "Sending my deepest love to the family of Vera. Very sad news, as she was a well-loved lady who looked after my children and grandchildren at playgroup. This is just terrible news. What a wonderful legacy she's left behind," Hannah McKnight added. "We certainly owe her the ultimate thank you as a town, as she did so much for the town."
Hello, I'm Amanda. Youth Club Plans. Plans for a new youth club have been unveiled after the successful launch of a new bike track. Mulbarton Parish Council is preparing to set up the club with £20,000 of funding secured from South Norfolk Council. The youth club would be based at the village hall near the Meadows playing area, where crowds of youths flocked to use a new pump track that opened last week. The looped circuit of rollers and banked turns is for cyclists, skateboarders and scooter riders, and forms part of a £90,000 revamp of the green space. A spokeswoman from Mulbarton Parish Council said, "The track is proving very popular. It has been a blessing opening during the school holidays. Our focus is now on setting up a youth club which will be aimed at children between 12 and 18. We will be holding engagement sessions with the youth to find out what they want from it. An official opening ceremony for the pump track will be held on October the 17th. The revamp also includes upgrading the play area, which was installed in 2022 and had become too costly to keep repairing.
The controversial sale of 20 council-owned Norfolk care homes to a private healthcare company has still not been completed, more than 6 months after county councillors paved the way for the contentious deal. And the delay has forced Norfolk County Council to take action to extend a contract with its care company, Norse Care, to keep supporting the people who live in the homes. Under the former Conservative administration, the council agreed an in-principle deal to sell Norse Care and 20 care homes to a private company, Stowe Healthcare Group. Leaders said that that deal would enable fresh investment into the homes and that the March end of Norse Care's contract to run them was the right time to make the change. The people living in the homes and the staff would remain under new ownership. However, in April, with a deal yet to be concluded, an extension to Norse Care's contract was agreed, so the company would keep running the homes until the end of July. And now, after Reform UK took over control of County Hall from the Tories at May's elections, it has emerged that a further extension has had to be agreed, with the due diligence over the deal yet to be completed. Scott Hussey, Reform's cabinet member for adult social care and public health, used delegated powers to agree to the extension, ostensibly until September the 30th, but potentially until January next year. Political opponents have said that with Norfolk County Council due to be scrapped because of local government reorganisation, which will see three new unitary councils created, the sale should be stopped. Reform UK's leaders at County Hall are seeking a judicial review into the decision-making by ministers over local government reorganisation and hope to stop the process. Three Norse Care properties, Springdale Care Home in Brundle, Burnham House in Terrington St John and Linden Court in Watton, have already closed.
Bus passengers have been left outraged over route changes and vital services being axed. First Bus is cutting around one-fifth of its services between Wyndham and Norwich, with the removal of the number 13 bus. Bosses at first have claimed that by adding 26 more services to the number 14, 15 and 16 buses, this will provide ample transport into the city. An analysis of the proposed timetables has revealed there will actually be 16 fewer services on weekdays heading into Norwich. There will also be 14 fewer heading back into Wyndham. First Bus has also made the decision to stop the 15 and 16 services from running through the Harts Farm estate. The service currently runs from Lingwood to Silfield through the estate. People who live there have now been advised to go to the Norwich Road stop or the Wyndham Cross stop, which are both around 10 to 15 minute walk. Service 17 is replaced by certain peak journeys on the 15 and 16 services being routed via Broadland Business Park. These changes will be put in place from August the 30th. Darren Pett, who lives in Wyndham, said this change doesn't just inconvenience a few passengers, it affects the fabric of our community. Removing it risks increasing isolation, reducing independence, and making everyday life significantly harder for those who already face mobility challenges. His wife, Julie, has started a petition on the matter, which so far has 325 signatures and has a goal of gaining 500. One local expressed their anger at the upcoming changes and said, "I can't see why First Bus has decided to make these changes. When I travel on the bus, it is often standing room only by the time we get to Heatherset. I just can't see how this is justifiable." What has First said? First Bus has defended the decision, saying passenger demand on the estate was very low. "As part of a recent review, we have increased the frequency of services between Wyndham and Norwich to every 15 minutes, providing customers with more journey opportunities and improved connections," a spokesperson for the company said. "We carefully consider the impact of any service changes, and we recognise this decision will be disappointing for some residents." Jonathan Pearl, District and Town Councillor for Central Wyndham, has written a letter to First Bus Regional Director Simon Matteson. "These decisions feel like there was not much thought or research put into them, and how they would inconvenience locals," he added. "I would hope that the uproar will get them to reinstate the Harts Farm service."
Developers behind thousands of new homes due to be built across Norfolk must not be allowed to put existing houses at risk of flooding, an MP has warned. Mid-Norfolk MP George Freeman is worried about the cumulative effect which building thousands of new homes across Norfolk will have on surface water flooding, and fears it is not being properly accounted for. The Conservative MP said previous incidents of flooding, including at Attleborough, demonstrated the need for developers to be made responsible for ensuring new houses did not increase flood risks. With thousands of new homes planned across Norfolk to hit government housing targets, Mr. Freeman recently outlined his concerns to a key government policy adviser who visited the county. Mr. Freeman showed the adviser from the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government around proposed housing sites in and around the A11, including at Attleborough. Attleborough, along with Long Stratton, have been hit hard by inland flooding recent years. Frustration has grown about the lack of powers and abdication of responsibility in preventing it. Mr. Freeman, through his Inland Flood Prevention Responsibilities Funding Liabilities and Data Bill, is hoping to overhaul how flood management is coordinated, funded and delivered. And he wants developers to be made more accountable so that they carry responsibility and liability where appropriate flood risk measures are not taken. Mr. Freeman said, "Norfolk wants to play its part in delivering new homes and supporting economic growth, but that growth must be sustainable. We cannot continue approving major developments without a clear, transparent and enforceable plan for flood mitigation, drainage and long-term infrastructure maintenance. My message is simple. Before any further major housing expansion is approved along the A11 corridor, we need a proper assessment of the cumulative flood risks and the infrastructure investment required to protect existing communities." Mr. Freeman said he welcomed the opportunity to give the policy advisor a first-hand look at the issues in Attleborough. Mr. Freeman said, "Residents are understandably worried that further development could make problems worse if the planning system does not properly assess the impact."
A Ford Fiesta driver who reached speeds of 139 miles per hour during a police chase on the A11 has been banned from driving. Morgan Sapisford Howard, aged 20, of Bunwell Road, Attleborough, appeared at Norwich Magistrates Court, where he pleaded guilty to dangerous driving and failing to stop for the police. He was banned from driving for 18 months and ordered to pay £429 in fines and costs. The charges relate to an incident that took place on March the 11th around 9:25 p.m. on the A11 at Thetford. Sapisford Howard was driving a red Ford Fiesta when he forced his way past a coach on a roundabout, nearly causing a collision before accelerating away at speed. An officer activated lights and sirens and began a pursuit, but Sapisford Howard refused to stop. During the chase, he reached speeds of 139 miles per hour and repeatedly turned his vehicle's lights on and off to make himself less visible. The pursuit was called off after he entered East Harling due to concerns over public safety. A public appeal later led to his identification and arrest in Norwich on March the 19th. During questioning at Wyndham Police Investigation Centre, Sapisford Howard initially denied the offences, claiming he had been at the gym when a friend, and then he went out for dinner, but however, the police presented evidence from his phone that tracked his route that night, along with footage of the vehicle in Thetford, leading him to admit the offences. PC Richard Rowe, the investigating officer, said, "Sapisford Howard's actions that night were incredibly dangerous and could very easily have resulted in serious injury or loss of life. Driving at speeds approaching 140 miles an hour, ignoring police signals to stop, and deliberately making himself less visible shows a complete disregard for the safety of other road users. In addition to the driving ban and financial penalties, Sapisford Howard was ordered to complete a rehabilitation activity requirement and 250 hours of unpaid work.
A festival which saw dozens of teddy bears take over a Norfolk village has raised more than £8,000 for charity. Villagers in Great Ellingham crafted some 90 teddy bears using straw and other materials, which were displayed in their gardens and around the village for this summer's two-week-long teddy bear festival. The festival saw the public pick an ursine version of a character from the popular film K-pop Demon Hunters as the best of all the bears created by villagers. The victorious bear, Rummy Bear, was inspired by Rummy Kang, the demon-hunting hero from the Oscar-winning animated film. The festival in the village near Attleborough also featured a bear trail, teddy bears picnic, race night and fete. The celebration has raised thousands of pounds for charities in the years since 2004, when villager Anne Reeve first came up with the idea. This year's main charity to benefit was Nelson's Journey, which supports bereaved children and young people. Set up in 1997 and based in Norwich, the charity received £4,000 from the total raised. The remaining funds will be distributed to other local good causes, once discussed and decided by members of the festival's organising committee. A spokesman for the organising committee said, "The quality of bears just seems to get higher each year. All the hours and days of hard work were worth it, as this year's Teddy Bear Festival raised more than £8,000 for local charities and causes. Our thanks go to all of our sponsors, organisations, businesses and individuals who donated raffle prizes, and most of all, of the people who participated and visited the village during the 2 weeks of the festival. Plans are already underway for next year's festival, and organisers are inviting new sponsors and volunteers to get involved by emailing hello@teddyfestival.org.
Don't know about.
The Tory councillor at the centre of a bitter saga over a £10,000 charity pledge has resigned following months of public pressure and a threat of legal action from her own authority. Taylor Taylor's sudden resignation from Attleborough Town Council is the latest twist in one of Norfolk's most turbulent local political disputes in recent memory. The Conservative has left with immediate effect, saying the authority was no longer functioning or delivering effectively for residents. She has found herself facing a barrage of scrutiny since March, when she repeatedly refused to confirm whether she had donated £10,000 to a local charity, as required under the 2021 legal settlement with her own council. The £20,000 settlement followed successful legal claim from her in which a judge ruled she had been unlawfully removed from the committee roles and defamed by the authority. It included a clause requiring her to pass half of the money she received to a local charity or project based in the town. Ms. Taylor has declined to say if she has paid the money, although she says she has continued to donate to charity. She claims the council did not meet its own obligations under the settlement and that this removed the requirement for her to make the charitable donation. The row soon spiralled into calls for her resignation, clashes with the public, and a vote by her own authority to hire independent lawyers to examine its legal position. The furore coincided with her campaign for a seat on Norfolk County Council in May. Daniel Piddington, who also sits on the Town Council and has frequently challenged Ms. Taylor on the donation, beat her by 891 votes to win the ward for reform. The dramatic events poured and further fuel on the proceedings of Attleborough Town Council, which had already gained a reputation for bitter infighting before the donation saga emerged. The saga surrounding Ms. Taylor reached a fever pitch in June when she walked out of a meeting after facing a persistent line of questioning from the public about why she had declined to say where the money had gone. Her exit proved to be the last time she would be seen in the chamber at Attleborough Town Hall. Ms. Taylor has gone on to miss the 8 meetings since then, as have her mother Samantha and grandfather John, who also serve on the council. In their absence, the council pressed on with plans to appoint independent lawyers to assess its own position in relation to the settlement and whether an attempt could be made to recoup the money. Ms. Taylor, who also serves on Breckland Council, said she had distanced herself from the town council in recent weeks while considering her future before concluding she would step down. Her mother and grandfather are also understood to be considering their positions on the council. In a lengthy statement, Ms. Taylor paid tribute to her 11 years of service before turning her fire on the council. After much consideration, I have decided to resign from my position as a town councillor for Attleborough Town Council, she said. It has been an honour and a privilege to serve the community of Attleborough, although it is fair to say that the role has not been without its challenges. I no longer believe the town council is functioning or delivering effectively for residents, she said. It has become increasingly apparent to me that the council lacks the direction, cohesion and ambition needed to move projects forward and achieve meaningful outcomes for the community. She added, I am someone who values effective public service and tangible results, and I have reached the point where I no longer feel that the time and energy I invest in the town council are translating into the positive outcomes for residents that I would expect. Too much energy is being directed towards individual and political agendas rather than towards working collectively in the best interests of the town. To be absolutely clear, I have not been pushed out. I have simply reached the conclusion that my time is valuable and that any time I devote to the community should have a positive and worthwhile impact. On the £10,000 saga, Ms. Taylor sought to redirect scrutiny towards the council's own finances, questioning why the sum had attracted such intense focus while the authority was spending significantly larger amounts in other areas. There are substantial ongoing monthly costs associated with temporary staff and consultants, including individuals charging in excess of £450 per day, as well as the costs of temporary cleaning arrangements, she said. From the 8th to the 18th of June alone, the temporary cleaning arrangements equated to approximately £283 per hour based on the hours worked. I think residents are entitled to scrutinise the council spending as a whole rather than having disproportionate attention placed on one particular sum. Ms. Taylor has confirmed she plans to stay on as Breckland councillor until 2028, when the district will be dissolved into one of three larger unitary councils.
A man has been arrested on suspicion of sending a series of homophobic and threatening messages to a Reform County councillor. Daniel Piddington, who represents Attleborough at County Hall, contacted police saying he had been subjected to a sustained pattern of hostility and intimidation. Richard Shea, who's in his 40s, was arrested by officers recently on suspicion of malicious communications. He is accused of using a series of homophobic slurs against Mr. Piddington, who is gay, as well as other threatening messages. Mr. Shea was arrested following weeks of inquiries after Norfolk police were first alerted to the messages on July the 26th by Mr. Piddington. He was taken to Wyndham Police Investigation Centre for questioning and has since been bailed until November the 16th while investigations continue. Speaking following the arrest, Mr. Piddington said, "As an elected representative, I fully expect scrutiny, challenge, and robust political disagreement. What I will never accept is intimidation, threats to my welfare, or homophobic abuse. There has been a sustained pattern of hostility and intimidation directed towards me, seemingly intended to silence me or deter me from carrying out the role I was elected to perform. It will not succeed. As criminal proceedings are now ongoing, it would not be appropriate for me to comment on specific circumstances of this case. I have confidence in the judicial process and I will allow that process to take its course." The arrest comes amid heightened concern over the safety of politicians nationally. Mr. Piddington, who was elected to Norfolk County Council in May, is also well known for his position on Attleborough Town Council, where he currently serves as Deputy Mayor. He recently changed his name to Daniel Piddington, having previously been known as Daniel Burcham. A police spokeswoman said, "We received on 26th of July 2026 that malicious messages had been sent to a man in Attleborough. Following inquiries, a man in his 40s was arrested on August the 18th on suspicion of malicious communications. He was taken to Wyndham Police Investigation Centre for questioning and was subsequently bailed until November the 16th, 2026.
It's an ancient and mysterious site, which has been off limits to the public for years. But next month, the public will have a rare opportunity to see one of Norfolk's most intriguing archaeological sites, Moot Hill. Despite its significance, the site near Wyndham has had little archaeological investigations. Only a few small digs in the 1900s, which were never fully recorded. The site is believed to be a Norman ringwork, a fortified defensive structure potentially linked to the Dalbini family, who were prominent nobles in Norfolk during medieval times. Or it could contain remains of an Iron Age settlement dating back more than 2,000 years. It has been shut to the public for years, closed off because of safety concerns and damage caused by unchecked tree growth. Placed on Historic England's Heritage at Risk register, a list of sites and buildings which experts fear are in danger of neglect or decay, its future looked bleak. However, earlier this year, thanks to the generosity of a mystery donor, it was acquired by Norfolk Archaeological Trust, which runs other archaeological sites such as the Roman town of Venter Icenorum at Caister, St Edmund, and St Bent's Abbey on the Broads. Since acquiring the site, which is on Harts Farm Road at the top of Kett's Park, the Trust has begun surveys, safety works and conservation planning aimed at acquiring its long-term future, while balancing the needs of archaeology, wildlife and public access. As part of Heritage Open Days next month, visitors will get the opportunity to visit the site for the first time since the Trust bought it. During the event, visitors will hear directly from members of the project team about the site's significance and the challenges and opportunities involved in protecting this important piece of Norfolk's heritage. They will also learn how community involvement is helping to shape the future of the site. Natalie Butler, director of Norfolk Archaeological Trust, said, "Opening Moot Hill to the public for the first time is a major milestone for the Trust and for the local community. This is a rare opportunity to visit a site that has been inaccessible for many years, learn about its fascinating history, and hear about our plans to ensure it can be enjoyed by future generations." The open days are from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. on Thursday, September the 17th, and 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, September the 20th. Places are limited and advance booking is essential. Booking at https://NorfolkHodsTicketSolve.com. I'll repeat, https://NorfolkHodsTicketSolve.com opens at 10 a.m. on Thursday, August the 26th.
Steam trains are making a return to the tracks on a much-loved heritage line. The Mid-Norfolk Railway has announced the return of its steam services after a period of suspension due to dry weather and fire risk. The decision follows a thorough review of safety controls and the introduction of additional measures to reduce the risk of fire. It comes after a scorching summer in Norfolk, which saw temperatures reach record highs and the fire service declare a major incident. Sam Taylor, general manager of the railway, said, "We know how much our passengers love seeing and travelling behind a steam locomotive, so we are delighted to be able to say steam is back. However, this decision has not been taken lightly. We have carried out a detailed review of the risks associated with steam operation in the current conditions, introduced additional controls and mitigations, and consulted with Norfolk Fire and Rescue Service. Our approach is very clear. We want people to enjoy the experience of steam on the Mid-Norfolk Railway, but we will only operate when we are satisfied that the risks can be appropriately controlled." Steam services on the railway, which run between Dereham and Wyndham, will be subject to ongoing monitoring and operations may be suspended if conditions worsen.
A loud bang was heard across parts of Norfolk, shaking homes and rattling windows. People in the county took to social media recently to share their surprise, with many believing it was a sonic boom. A sonic boom is caused by the shock waves caused when an object travels through the air faster than the speed of sound. They are often caused by jets flying through the air at speed. It's believed to have been a jet belonging to the US Air Force that operates out of Lakenheath and happened at about 8:30 a.m. Jane Pendleton from Old Buckenham said, "Did an elephant just land on my roof, or was that a sonic boom?" The bang was also reported in Attleborough, East Harling, Shropham, Eccles, Snetterton and Wretham. A woman in Old Buckenham said, "The noise was so loud it got picked up on my two-year-old's baby monitor." Another person thought their roof had collapsed, while one woman said that it's louder than I've ever heard. Joan Lee Kirk in Attleborough said, "I heard it about 8:30 a.m. It rattled my French patio doors." Annalisa Gaze said, "Oh, that's what it was. Thought something had fallen off my roof, like the chimney. Heard it in Garblesham." Timothy Bullitt heard the bang in Thetford. He said, "So that's what it was. I did suspect that. At 8:53 this morning, I heard one hell of a bang while working outside in Thetford. There have already been two sonic booms in Norfolk so far this year. The first was on January the 12th, which was heard over Norwich, and then another on May the 12th. The latter was confirmed by RAF Lakenheath to have been a US Air Force plane based at the site. It happened after a fighter pilot accidentally broke the sound barrier during training." A spokesman for RAF Marham said, "This is very unlikely to be RAF aircraft. Given the location and direct flight path from Lakenheath, it is far more probable that any sonic boom would be related to US Air Force activity."
Yeah. Pubs are competing to be named the best local in Norfolk. Breckland Council has announced its shortlist for the Local Pub of the Year, People's Choice, which will honour a pub that serves as a true community hub and deliver an outstanding customer experience. Nominations are judged on visitor experience, customer service, community involvement, atmosphere and reputation. The full list of shortlisted pubs includes the King's Arms in Watton, the King's Head in North Lapham, the Mulberry Tree in Attleborough, the Angel Inn in Larling, and the Black Horse in Thetford. Also in the running are the Brisley Bell in Brisley, the Eagle in Hockham, the Fox Inn in Garboldisham, the Nag's Head in East Harling, and the Ploughshare in Beeston. Completing the shortlist are the Railway Tavern in Dereham, the Red Lion in Kenninghall, the Swan Inn in Hillborough, and the White Swan in Gressenhall. The winner will be decided via a public vote on the Breckland Council website. The winning pub will be asked to support young people by offering mentoring, work experience, or skill development opportunities. A community centre is set to unveil a new tree-themed arts project. North Wyndham Community Centre will use its annual garage sale on Bank Holiday Monday, August the 31st, to launch Artist Tree. The event, taking place from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., features a range of tree-inspired art pieces, including paintings by local resident Nicola Durrant and works by the Thursday Art Group. A collective artwork, Treehouse, created by children at Ashley Primary School, will also be displayed. The project will provide information about Greening Wyndham's tree trail. Christine Chapman of Chris Creations will sell her unique beaded Tree of Life designs, while John Beckett will present some of his tree poems from his recently published collection. A performance of Common Tree, a play by local playwright Tony Vale, will also take place. The event organisers hope residents and visitors will support the initiative while browsing the expected 100 or so garage sale stalls across the town. To register for the garage sale, text 07851 370666. I repeat, 07851 370666, or email tony@valemail.uk. I repeat, tony@valemail, that's valemail.uk.
A new battery storage site is to be built on farmland in Norfolk, the 19th renewable project in the pipeline for an area of the county which has become known as Solar Valley. The new facility will be built at Bracken Ash on a corridor along the A140, which is being extensively developed by energy firms. The area has become a focus for activity because of the proposed pylon route between Norwich and London. 18 projects have already been built or are in the pipeline, with some relying on the approval of the government due to their size. All of the schemes are part of the drive towards net zero, which the government wants to reach by 2050. Many locals are resisting the schemes, saying they are creating a blight on the landscape and represent a loss of vital farmland. The latest battery scheme on Wyndham Road has been approved by South Norfolk Council. It will see 394 3-metre-high units installed on farmland. Parish councillors in nearby Renningham criticised the location of the scheme, claiming South Norfolk is being inflicted with such projects. Officials at Norfolk Wildlife Trust raised concerns about the effect the facility will have on Flawdon Meadow, parts of which overlap the site. They say there is likely to be a loss of grassland at part of the works for the scheme, and have also raised concerns about the possible impacts on water quality. Once built, the facility will be in place for 35 years. It will be constructed over a 12-month period. The proposed pylon route to the capital will be just 700 metres from the Bracken Ash scheme. The battery storage facility will allow electricity from the grid to be stored at times of low demand.
And we have two letters on the same subject. The first is from Chris Blaisby of Wyndham. Bus changes rethink. I read the recent article concerning the revised schedules for First Bus, and my immediate reaction was that all that they have achieved is to make everything very complicated. To suggest that people living on the Harts Farm estate should walk to either stops at Norwich Road or Market Cross is laughable. In the winter, when the weather is probably wet and cold, passengers are not going to be very pleased with that, especially if they're elderly. I volunteer at the NNUH every Monday and have to change buses at the interchange, some of whom drive off as my bus pulls in before passengers have had time to get off, which incurs a wait of around 15 minutes. Some of them are needing to get to the hospital for appointments, which adds to their anxiety, and I have to be there to start a shift at 9:30 a.m. I have sat with patients on the bus if they're running late, who are very worried about being late for their appointment. With the ever-growing size of Wyndham and passengers using first bus, a direct bus to the hospital would make perfect sense. And I have mentioned the fact to Jonathan Pearl and Robert Savage, both of whom are in agreement. Darren Pett is quite right in his comments about isolation, reduced independence, mobility challenges, etc., and I've added my name to his wife's petition. If First Bus do not have a rethink, then I feel these changes will result in more people using their cars for the hospital and the city, resulting in the chaotic parking when we're told not to use our cars. So come on, First Bus, you definitely need to have a rethink. After all, you're supposed to be a public service.
And the second letter is from Mrs. J.C. Stevenson, Wyndham. Bus was my lifeline, so First Bus has decided to remove the number 13 bus, presumably because those making this decision travel everywhere by car. The number 13 is a vital link from where I live in Wyndham to Anglia Square, as was, and beyond. It delivers me straight to St. Stephen's or Castle Meadow. As I am now quite ancient, walking is becoming a problem. The number 6, which they are proposing to be an adequate replacement, takes me to the bus station. Full stop. Not ideal. And it doesn't run on a Sunday. The number 13 is my lifeline, but then, as an old woman, my needs are trivial compared to the need for greater profits. Wyndham is not all that well served. Why is there no direct bus to the hospital? Wotton has one. And why is Wyndham High Street being turned into a bus park on a regular basis by the number 14, which causes constant chaos, traffic jams and rage from people trying to negotiate their way out of the parking bay opposite, often to be met with abuse from the driver. Wyndham is a busy market town. We need a good regular bus service that takes us straight to the city or the hospital. But First Bus obviously sees profit before people. Seems a common thing these days.
And now community news. Hassingham House Care Home, Hingham. A huge thank you to everyone who came along to the Hassingham House Summer Fete, and wow, what a big one it was this year. We had such an amazing afternoon filled with fun, games, music, shopping, delicious food and lots of laughter. It was wonderful to see so many residents, families, friends and members of our local community all enjoying the day together. Thank you to everyone who helped make it such a fantastic success. We hope you all enjoyed it as much as we did. Mayor of Wyndham, Councillor Lucy Nixon. Had a busy but enjoyable day yesterday with Councillor Suzanne Newry-Nixon at the official opening of Baysfield Gardens Care Home in South Wyndham, a stunning new care facility on the new London Road housing development. Then in the evening, we were joined by Councillor Julian Fulcher for a fundraising music concert at Wyndham Abbey Church in aid of the Royal Marsden Hospital. Apparently, Suzanne can now never unhear mine and Julian's singing of Land and Hope and Glory when we got to join in with the Wyndham Choral Society. From Mark Fairhead of Norfolk Blood Bikes. To the good folk of Wyndham, I was collecting at Morrison's on Saturday the 22nd of August and on Sunday on behalf of Norfolk Blood Bikes. Thanks to your generosity, we raised £1,214, which is much needed to cover our running costs to keep our fleet of blood bikes and cars mobile. Thanks to Morrison's for allowing us to collect at the store.
And now for some community news. Howard Cycles. A big thank you to Wyndham Community Responders. Thank you so much for your lovely thank you letter following our raffle prize, which helped raise an amazing £280 for your charity. As a small local business, we're asked every week if we can support different charities and community groups. Unfortunately, our funds are limited, so we often have the difficult job of choosing which causes we can support. We're really pleased we can choose to support Wyndham Community Responders. The work you do is so important and genuinely helps save lives in our community. Thank you for everything you do, and we're proud to have played a small part in helping raise funds for such a worthwhile cause. And St Mary's Church, Attleborough. Our choir usually takes August off, but they've been busy this year. They sang the services for the first weekend of the month. They were singing at Norwich Cathedral, including a special festival evensong on Saturday for the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. After a well-earned break, they'll be back on duty in Attleborough at the beginning of September. New members are always welcome if you fancy giving it a go.
And now, some what's on information. Wyndham Afternoon Disco, Friday the 11th of September, 2 to 5pm. Wyndham X Services Social Club, 70s and 80s, a hint of 60s classics. Free entry, all welcome. Wyndham Charity Fun Dog Show, Saturday the 12th of September. Gates open at 9am, first classes 10am. Centre Paws, Barnard's Farm, Barnum Broom Road, Wyndham. Contact Catherine Overton on 07941 676 332. I repeat, Catherine Overton on 07941 676 332. Hingham Yard Sale, Sunday the 13th of September 2026, 10am to 3pm. Maps available from the marketplace, NR9 4AF. I repeat, NR9 4AF, for 50p each from 9:30 on the sale day, raising funds for Hingham's Santa's Grotto. Wyndham Methodist Church Harvest Festival Weekend, Saturday the 12th of September, 10:30am to 2pm. Wyndham Methodist Church, Town Green, Wyndham. Harvest displays, refreshments in the Town Green Centre. Sunday the 13th of September, 10:30am. Festival worship led by Kit Lou. Children's Club at 10:30am.
And some more what's-ons. Hardingham. The Hardingham Beer Festival, from the 4th to the 6th of September at Hardingham Memorial Hall, for food, live music all weekend, real ales, cider, wine and gin. Wyndham Norfolk Knitters and Stitchers Makers Fest on Saturday the 12th of September from 10am to 1:30pm at Wyndham Central Hall. Unique creations, colourful knitting, crochet, admission free. Old Buckenham Open Produce and Handicraft Show, the WI Inspiring Women, on Saturday the 5th of September at Old Buckenham Village Hall. A raffle with prizes donated by local businesses and refreshments including homemade cakes. Exhibits to be brought to the hall on the day of the show between 9:30 and 11 a.m. Judging starts at 11:15 a.m. Open to the public from 2 p.m. The presentation of prizes at 4 p.m. Schedules available for exhibitors from Adelia Webster on 07947 013 200. I'll repeat that. 07947 013 200. The Attleborough Music Project Summer Concert on the 5th of September at 7:30 at St Mary's Church, Attleborough. The Woodburn Singers, Jeremy Rowe director. A varied programme of sacred and secular choral music performed by one of the finest and long-established chamber choirs in Buckinghamshire. Free admission with a retiring collection. You can contact them at attleboroughchurch.org.uk/concerts. I'll repeat that. attleboroughchurch.org.uk/concerts.
And more What's Ons. Attleborough. Rosedale Bereavement Support Group, starting on the 3rd of September and running for 8 consecutive Thursdays, 10:30 to 12 noon, in Attleborough Library, in a private room. That's in Church Street, Attleborough. For more information and to register, telephone Rosedale Funeral Home on 01953 452538. I'll repeat. Rosedale Funeral Home on 01953 452538. Renningham. Live Music Night featuring Coast. That's on the 12th of September 2026 from 8:30 until 11:45 p.m. That's in the Village Hall, Mill Lane, Renningham. Tickets are £9. Contact Shirley Aldous on 01508 489606. I repeat, 01508 489606. Wyndham Norfolk Creations, 1st to the 13th of September 2026, and that's at Beckett's Chapel in Wyndham. Artisan Arts and Crafts Exhibitions, by local Norfolk. There's a website which is www.norfolkcreations.co.uk. I'll repeat. Norfolk Creations, all one word, .co.uk. Deepham Flower and Produce Show, Sunday the 13th of September 2026 at the Greylicks Hall, St Andrew's Church, Deepham. Celebrating local growers, homegrown talent, flowers, vegetables, fruit, home baking, preserves, floral art and more. Entries at the church from 8 to 10 p.m. and public viewing from 2 p.m. Competitions for all ages and abilities. Plant stall, refreshments and homemade treats. Everyone welcome. Schedules from Jane on 07736 616565. I'll repeat that. From Jane, that's 07736616565. And Wicklewood Windmill is open from 2 till 5 on the 13th of September. And that's at Wicklewood Windmill on the High Street at Wicklewood.
And finally, some more dad jokes. What's the most reliable part of the human body? Your fingers. You can always count on them.
What do you call James Bond when he forgets to shave? 007.
And why can't NASA put a duck into space? Well, the bill would be astronomical. We're coming to the end of this edition of Your Talking Newspaper. If you have any comments to make about this edition, or queries about the service, or if you're having trouble returning the wallets, please contact me, Georgette, on 01953 605434. I'll repeat, 01953 605434. You can also contact us and listen to the news at www.watn.org.uk. I'll repeat, www.watn.org.uk. Now, when you finish listening, remove the memory stick from the machine, rotate it back into its protective cover. Place the memory stick and its key fob inside the wallet together with the address label and return them to us. Very best wishes from all of us at the Talking Newspaper. Please stay safe and keep well. The next edition will be recorded in 2 weeks' time on the 11th of September. So until then, it's goodbye from us all.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye. Thank you.